Hello and welcome to MDG the Podcast, a podcast with the experts in the field of microbiology, teaching us about the world we live in and how Bacillus is shaping it. As always, the podcast was brought to you by Microbial Discovery Group. Visit MDG at mdgbio.com. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Judd Reminger. I am the creative lead here at MDG, and also I'll be your host for MDG the Podcast. Today in the podcast, we have Josiah Minacco. He's a technical support lead here at MDG, and we're going to be talking about unlocking solutions, managing fog and wastewater with bioaugmentation. Josiah, thank you for joining us. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. We just had a nice fats, oils, and grease webinar, and now following it up with a podcast. So
yeah, fats, oils, and grease are going to be a main topic of today. And can you just explain what fat, oils, and grease are? And what are some common challenges created in wastewater?
Sure. Fats, oils, and grease are basically just lipids of all different sorts, things from household greases to industrial petroleum, lubricants, things like that. And they're less dense than water. So in wastewater, typically they're going to float. They're going to cause a lot of issues within aeration basins. And they're expensive to remove and can promote a lot of odors and hydrogen sulfide gas as well.
When we talk about FOG or FOG, that's fats, oils, and grease. And there's a cost challenge that is commonly encountered in wastewater with them. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, starting from the top, when it goes down some sort of drain, whether it's a household drain, a kitchen, or some sort of industrial process, as soon as it gets to the contact with water, it's going to start separating. And so now you have oil on the top of the water within all these different types of systems, from grease interceptors to sewers and lift stations down to the wastewater plant. And each area has its own unique challenge and its own expenses to control, mitigate, remove, and prevent any kind of failures or severe issues. So it's all about preventing something really bad from happening before it does, and there's a lot of expense tied to that. So like with a grease interceptor, it's very common they have to regularly clean them, whether it's quarterly or monthly, but sometimes it's more frequent because of how bad it is, or when they clean it, it's very expensive because it's thick, it's hard to remove, maybe it's difficult to access. And on top of that, because you're having this high amount of organic content on top of the water and there's wastewater underneath, it's causing a very anaerobic environment, but also giving a lot of food to other organisms, and it can promote a lot of hydrogen sulfide gas, a lot of odors, so that can lead to corrosion, complaints, infrastructure damage. So there's just a whole combination of snowball of expenses. And then down at the wastewater plant, once you have fats, oils, and grease commingling with the solids, the sludge in the system, the settling starts to fail because you're getting really less dense material entering the system, incorporating into the sludge, which normally settles more dense and settles. Now it's not. So you start to lose solids through TSS and you're losing your biomass. So wastewater treatment starts to suffer on top of filamentous growth, which can occur in the aeration basins too. So they're going to thrive on the fats, oils, and grease and cause another myriad of issues with settling and things like that.
I mean, obviously, there are ways to control it. What are some methods of controlling FOG with bioaugmentation?
So with bioaugmentation, it's a preventative treatment to improve digestion and reduce accumulation. So when we know there's an issue or a problem area within any type of system, whether it's a grease interceptor, which of course has grease, or collection systems, or down in the wastewater plant, it's just about mitigating the accumulation, or if it's already there, helping restore less and less as we're breaking it down and digesting it. So bioaugmentation, you're putting in organisms that produce, in this case, a lot of lipase or similar enzymes that break down long chains within the lipids. So now you're breaking them down into smaller, more digestible compounds. That whole community can now access these food sources that maybe they didn't have the ability to produce the enzyme to break down those compounds. So now you're digesting it, removing them, and putting them into the air as CO2. So it's just control and mitigation and preventing those expenses throughout the system.
Yeah, a big one is qualifying, surveying, and dosing. Can you expand a little bit more on the biological application?
Qualifying, it's just identifying where the problem is, what's the source of it, and how bad is it, and how is the best approach to treat it. So if you have a location that's really bad, can we get upstream of it and treat the lines coming in, or can we understand where it's coming from and be proactive and treat more of the whole system? Because treating on top of the problem can sometimes help, but it's best to get as far upstream where the problem is occurring so you can help all the way through and get more benefit. So that's part of the qualification. Or if it's in an activated sludge system, looking at things like settling or their mixed liquor suspended solids, types of data that they're regularly monitoring and aware of, and see, okay, it's started to get bad here. Can we improve it? How much can we improve it? And giving them a a range based on past performance, past examples we've seen. And every system is different and it reacts different, but we can usually say, you know, we've seen it this case at the best, and at the worst, we've benefited this much with somewhere within there. So then we can, once we understand how bad it is and things like the flow as well, strength of the wastewater, we can help our distribution partners apply a dose or propose a dose based on our previous knowledge. We are pretty good at understanding for this situation, we're going to need to put this much in to get a return on investment or see a benefit. And then, yeah, it's about applying and monitoring and showing that before versus after. Sometimes in the case of a clean out, like if they're cleaning out every month or multiple times a month, it's just how much can we prolong that clean out, or how much easier is the clean out? How much less mass are they removing? So then the expense on the disposal is less. The time for the crews to do the clean outs is less.
You have probably plenty of examples, but can you give me a few examples of how MDG treated fog?
My favorite one is a municipality, a pretty large area within the municipality, a few million gallons of flow coming through this part of the sewer. And there was one main central lift station that was accumulating all the flows from the other smaller lift stations. And at this point, every month it would build up about 5 feet of fat. So super, super thick. It was just this huge area. It was like a swimming pool inside. It was huge. So they would have to come every month with two trucks and five people. And it was so thick too that not only couldn't really pump it out too well, so they'd be having to break it up and put it into the vac truck. So a huge expense. They're spending around $12,000 every month for this removal fee and service and disposal and all that. So going in there, treating upstream at all the lift stations upstream to coming into this one. So we're benefiting those ones upstream, but also this one downstream, this big one. And over the months and over the years now, we've just seen that monthly cost go from around $10,000 a month down to almost nothing. Like, because they have to come so infrequently now, it's like every 4 or 5 months. So when you average out the cost of them coming now, and it's less that they have to clean out, you know, it's around $300-$400 a month, just because it's so much less and so spread out. And on top of that, when you have fat soils and grease, they're getting a lot of hydrogen sulfide gas as well. And so they were using calcium nitrate to mitigate that. And when you put nitrate into a system, you get denitrification when it's anaerobic, like a sewer system is. So lots of bubbles coming up. And that also makes the fat problem worse because you're floating more of the fat than otherwise would be there. So we were able to also combat the hydrogen sulfide with the bioaugmentation. So they were able to cut down their calcium nitrate use as well. So there was two big cost savings that were super beneficial.
Obviously, MDG has their three promises: real science, trusted process, proven success. Now, how can that tie into fog in wastewater when you are going to these wastewater treatment plants, you're seeing the problem? How can we show a proven success the way we treated it?
Another example that comes to mind is a MBR system, membrane bioreactor aeration basin. They were getting bad settling and a lot of filamentous bacteria on the surface of their aeration basin due to a lot of fat soils and grease coming in. So we set up treatment. It was a pretty moderate treatment, like a low treatment, because the aeration basin is really active. It wasn't super bad, but it was bad enough that we could have a benefit. So over time, the filamentous completely went away, like from very thick across the whole thing, they were gone to nothing, and you can see water again. But the data really showed, and the proven success showed in the data. Their settling improved, their TSS, which was getting really, really high on their effluent, like so they were violating their permit by a ton. It should have been 20, they're up around 300 on many, many days, just because the fat is not letting stuff settle. So we took them from these huge spikes down to just a flat line again where they should be, because they're getting proper settling, because now the fat's no longer there, so stuff can settle again. Additionally, we're digesting more solids and helping restore a better ecosystem in there and better settling, better flocks in that way. That data was really powerful. It's one of our favorite case studies. MBRs are pretty reactive and benefit from bioaugmentation.
Well, Josiah, I want to thank you for being on the podcast today. And if you want to reach out to talk to Josiah some more, you can email us at info@mdgbio.com or find us at mdgbio.com. And as always, make sure you like and subscribe. I want to thank you very much. And for everyone else, we'll see you later.